Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates the prevalence of autism spectrum disorders in children is now 1 in 68. This is a new estimate, roughly represents about a 30% increase from previous estimates. My guest is Dr. Susan Hyman. She's a developmental and behavioral pediatrician at the Golisano Children's Hospital of the University of Rochester. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hyman. So let's talk about this new sort of data that's just come out, and what is that representing? What is that telling us?
What that tells us is that autism is very common. The CDC has a surveillance program where they are tracking the number of 8-year-old children in a number of sites around the country to see what the prevalence is over time. And this 1 in 68 number is not a surprise, I think, to the practicing pediatrician who sees autism every day in the office.
So how are these prevalence rates calculated?
This is based on a community surveillance where they get data, they get records from both health clinics that serve children with developmental disabilities and neurologic problems, as well as primary care, and in some of the sites, school data. They don't depend on autism being diagnosed clinically. What they're doing is using a research-proven algorithm to look for certain behavioral characteristics so that they can find what the community prevalence of autism spectrum disorders are. Overall, about 80% of the children have been diagnosed with autism already, but there are this substantial number who have not been previously identified.
Dr. Hyman, what can we infer from the data that autism is more common in boys than girls?
That is one of those $64,000 questions. We know that many factors that relate to autism are prenatal in origin, some of which are genetic, some of which may be environmental in terms of turning genes on and off, and that boys are at greater risk for a whole host of developmental disorders, including autism spectrum disorders, so that this suggests that there is a genetic predisposition in boys.
So now causes. You know, there's always the uproar in the media and celebrities and, you know, coming out with their own versions. You are a true expert, Dr. Hyman. So what do we know about the real causes of autism?
We know a tremendous amount about what autism is and isn't. We know that there are multiple genes which interact with each other to predispose an individual to autism. And there are genes that lead to individual traits that cumulatively, that together, present as what we know as the autism spectrum. We know that these genes can be turned on and off prenatally by environmental factors, and these environmental factors are in large part unknown. There are lots and lots of studies that have demonstrated things that are not associated with autism, and some that have provocative data that really need to be followed up. But I think that the term autism spectrum disorders with an S points to the fact that there's not a single cause.
Okay, so there's not a single cause. There's a whole collection of things. But now, this is one of the main things that's being, you know, along with treatments, which we're going to talk about later, but, you know, the main things that are being investigated by researchers are into some of the causes so that hopefully we can maybe, you know, look at that as also an adjunct to the treatment. So what are some of the most important questions you feel that researchers are looking into?
I think that it's critically important to look at the prenatal environment. There was just some really very interesting work that was published looking at prenatal brain development in individuals with autism, and the things that mothers are exposed to during gestation, like having adequate nutrition. There was one study looking at whether or not adequate folic acid might be preventive for autism, looking at other medications that mothers may be exposed to. And now there, from some of this research, there's a recommendation that women not be given certain anti-seizure medicines during pregnancy. Looking at other aspects of maternal health is really a critical area in terms of looking at early brain development. A point that I want to make, Melanie, is that genetic research isn't just about prevention, it's also about treatment. That some of the most exciting research that's going on now is looking at how genes function and what that might tell us about either developmental and behavioral interventions or designer drugs.
So when parents are noticing symptoms, and I always ask my docs to please give things, give the red flags, if you would, please, Dr. Hyman, of things that parents would notice, because early diagnosis is essential for really good quality treatment. So give some, you know, red flags that would stick up for parents that would get them to their doctors to say, what's going on here?
Well, one of the most important things that we ask physicians to do, family practitioners and pediatricians in general, is to listen to parents. So even before the red flags, anything that worries a parent is worth mentioning to your healthcare provider. Children are at risk for all kinds of developmental and behavioral problems in addition to autism. So a child who is not turning to their name at a year of age, a child that is not using words between 12 and 15 months of age, that's not pointing or looking to a point, that doesn't have big smiles or other warm, joyful expressions before a year of age, that these are things that are worth mentioning to your healthcare provider, and more than just mentioning, expressing his concern. The American Academy of Pediatrics expressly recommends developmental screening at 9 months, at 18 months, and 30 months of age, in the absence of a 30-month visit at 24 months, and autism-specific screening at 18 and 24 months, with ongoing attention to symptoms of autism that may present later in higher-functioning kids. So the red flags are critical in terms of recognizing social awareness, back and forth communication by showing and reaching and waving by 12 months, words by 16 months, and children by 24 months of age should have meaningful two-word phrases.
Dr. Hyman, in just the last minute, please wrap up this new data that's come out about the causes and prevalence of autism. Really, your best advice, what you'd like the parents listening to take away from this new data.
So, autism is common. Population prevalence is now 1 in 68. More common in boys than in girls. The age that parents identify delays or differences is younger than the age at which the diagnosis of autism itself is made. And to expect developmental screening in the context of their primary care with autism-specific screening at 18 and 24 months of age. And if a screen is positive, the term that my colleagues use is refer, don't defer. Don't wait. Don't assume it's because this is a younger child or a boy or everyone in the family were late talkers. If screening is positive, get evaluated.
Thank you so much, Dr. Susan Hyman. If screening is positive, get evaluated, look for these signs and symptoms, understand this data, and talk with your pediatrician, because that really is the most important bit of information you can take with you, is that you need to really have these discussions with your pediatrician. They'll be your best help. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.